I sold my car in Carvana last night.
Well, that's cool.
No, you don't understand. It went perfectly. Real offer, down to the penny. They're picking it up tomorrow. Nothing went wrong.
So, what's the problem?
That is the problem. Nothing in my life goes as smoothly. I'm waiting for the catch.
Maybe there's no catch.
That's exactly what a catch would want me to think.
Wow, you need to relax.
I need to knock on wood. Do we have wood? Is this table wood?
I think it's laminate.
Okay, yeah, that's good. That's close enough.
Car selling without a catch. Sell your car today on Carvana. Pickup fees may apply.
Yes, we're back here on One-on-One on 93.7. The Ticket. I'm Jake Bachman. He's Austin Orman. And we are entertaining you here for the next half hour. I'll stick around for Bach in the Black Shirt with Terrell coming up after this program. And then Austin will be sticking around for Old School coming on later in the day. So it should be a lot of fun. Again, I want to get to this college football story. I think we could do it before the end of the show. But also, I mean, Nebraska basketball has got a game tomorrow, and that's the talk of the town in Nebraska basketball. And interesting, too, as they go on to take on USC. You might have just heard there, Nick will be out there for the USC game. Austin, you'll actually go out for the UCLA game. So we're going to have some representation out there in Los Angeles. Just want to get your thoughts quickly on Eric Musselman and USC as they come in on a 4-game losing streak. I've lost to Ohio State, Illinois, Oregon, and at UCLA recently. UCLA beat them pretty good, 81-62. Dropped USC to 18-10 and 7-10 overall. I just think it's kind of interesting because, you know, as it lands here, I think UCLA and Iowa are a little bit more of a threat, but you can't overlook USC. And I think, you know, even watching that Maryland game and certainly the loss to Iowa kind of puts Nebraska back in this kind of touchable category, right? Where it seemed at one time Nebraska is like, they're beating the bottom half of the Big Ten by 20 plus points. Only losses are to top 15 teams. Can't overlook the Trojans here.
You cannot, especially not since they have Patrick O'Brien on their roster.
Patrick O'Brien.
Not that Patrick O'Brien.
Oh, not that Patrick
but
O'Brien.
A different Patrick O'Brien. Listed at the very bottom of their roster. This is a typical kind of Eric Musselman grab bag roster. Same thing he did for a while at Arkansas. Of course, last year's USC team actually came to Lincoln and won. It was a relatively tight game in Lincoln. Trying to scroll back to the exact score. 78-73. Rashawn Agee, who's playing some pretty good basketball for Texas A&M right now, had a big game against Nebraska in that one. But there's been essentially no carryover from last year's roster to this year's roster. Headlined by Chad Baker-Mazzara, the 27-year-old senior wing. Good player. Can get himself in trouble sometimes, right? I'm not overly scared of him. Ezra Asar was a Nebraska target at one point in the transfer portal. He ends up out at USC. Elijah Arenas, of course, Gilbert Arenas's son, had some health issues, some scary stuff in the offseason, but he's back from that now. Rodney Rice played for them for a little while. He's averaging 20 points a game, but he is out for the year with an injury. I only played in the first 6 games of the year. So when he went out, that's kind of when things took a downturn. I like Amarian Dickerson forward, but he hasn't really been in the rotation, hasn't done much. He might have been another injury guy. But this is just a typical Eric Musselman team. You know, it's going to be kind of a hodgepodge of who can I get out of the transfer portal. I think Eric Musselman's a good coach. The fact that he's been able to get this team, you know, to an 18-10 record. They had an undefeated non-conference season. That's not nothing. Weren't exactly playing murderer's row, but you did it. They're just so mid in pretty much everything, though. Middle of the pack in offense, middle of the pack in defense. They don't have really any, you know, definable strengths. I mean, maybe they get to the free throw line a lot, but they're only okay when it comes to knocking them down. They're good, not great at rebounding. They'll block some shots, I guess, but they'll turn the ball over. Not a good 3-point shooting team on pretty low volume. So I think this is a team in a game, Bach, that, you know, if you look at just kind of the headlining names before the year, you kind of like USC's roster. It just hasn't really coalesced somewhat due to injuries and somewhat due to, it's just always been kind of hit or miss with these Eric Musselman style of teams, the way he builds them.
Yeah, and if you look at it too, they're still looking for their kind of big victory on the year. Not able to knock off any top 25 teams. I think they're 0-4 against them thus far this season. And a team that needs, I mean, at least for this, we can say about them is they're going to need some wins to get in the NCAA tournament. So they at least have the motivation on their side as they'll take Nebraska, similar to Iowa. you know, to a lesser degree, their resume not quite to where I was, but where a win against Nebraska would propel them in those type of discussions. So hopefully a different result here in Los Angeles rather than in Iowa City.
Yeah, and that's one where USC being a team that's looking for that big win does kind of scare you the same way that Iowa did. Because I think Baker Mazzara is good. He's won team some games in his college career, but there's not necessarily that guy at the point of attack, right? I think, you know, Sanford, Jacobson, Hoiberg will get a crack, I'm sure, at times. Frager at times as well. Can do enough to limit him or at least make his life difficult. Coming in off a four-game losing streak, like you said, Bach, I mean, a seven-point loss on the road at Ohio State, not a lot of shame in that one. Got absolutely steamrolled by Illinois. Was never competitive in that game. Oregon came in, beat them tight, and then going on the road, losing at UCLA by almost 20 points. This is a USC team that I think could go one of two ways. You know, knowing they're in the very far bubble periphery of the NCAA tournament conversation, and this win, plus going on the road at Washington, who's you know, at the bottom of the Big Ten standings, but not a horrible team with some history between those two, and then UCLA revenge on the mind to wrap up the regular season. This is a USC team that I think could be playing out the string, or a USC team that could say, hey, here's our chance to re-kickstart our season, right? We have a chance to welcome a top 15 team to town. We haven't played well against them before. Let's put it all on the line. Let's see if we can get this one and see where that leads.
Yeah. So we'll see what that leads to here on tomorrow. Actually, Nebraska will play USC again, 3 o'clock on BTN. If you're trying to plan out your Saturday and get ready for that tonight, by the way, Michigan and Illinois, number 3, Michigan, number 10, Illinois. That will be an interesting one. Unfortunately, Michigan's all but wrapped up the Big Ten. I think they will tonight with a win, right?
They should, I think. Let me pull up the Big Ten standings. That sounds right. Because Michigan, all right, we're at Big Ten basketball standings. Yeah, Michigan at 16-1. Yeah, they would need to lose out. Nebraska and Michigan State and Illinois would all need to win out to force some tiebreakers. Even if Illinois does end up getting this one tonight, I would anticipate Michigan winning one of its final 3 games of the regular season. It's at Iowa, and it plays host to Michigan State. So not necessarily an easy close to the season for Michigan that did end up getting pushed by Minnesota at times in that game in Ann Arbor. But, yeah, it's Michigan's to lose. It would take a lot going wrong for the Wolverines not to single-handedly or, you know, in individual fashion claim the Big Ten crown.
Yeah, so that's probably going to happen. But still a very fun game. And you can see two teams that are going to be certainly vying for the Final Four there. Last night, Michigan State upended Purdue 76-74. So now Michigan State 13-4. Nebraska has the tiebreaker there. Purdue falls to 12-5. So helps out Nebraska in the standings. Braden Smith had an opportunity at the buzzer. Didn't get it done. So ultimately, Michigan State gets the win. One thing Braden Smith did do is jump into the top 5 all-time in career assists. One of 5 players to get more than 1,000 assists in his career. I'm a big fan of assists, so I had to shout that out. All-time leader in assists. You might know it. Do you know it?
Bobby Effin Hurley. Bobby Hurley.
That's right. Bobby Hurley, 1,076 at the top. A lot of, in fact, the top 3 all played their college ball in the state of North Carolina. Ed Cota, when I remember, 3rd there for North Carolina at 1,030. Again, only 5 players have been there before. It's always fun to kind of go back and look at some of the names on the list, including the top 10. Steve Blake from Maryland, 972. Aaron Miles from Kansas, if people remember him, just inside the top 10 at 954. How about Greg Anthony at 11th all-time and Doug Gottlieb?
Yes, that 12. Doug Gottlieb,
that
folks.
Doug Gottlieb is at 12. All time. And now I'm just doing rankings because, same, you know, numbers, these are guys over 900. Also in the 900 club, let's see.
There Gary was
another
Payton.
Name. Gary Payton was another name. Yeah. That I wanted to mention there.
The name that I will bring up that didn't quite get even to that mark, but I think has been kind of lost to Big Ten history, is Cassius Winston.
Oh, yeah.
Hated playing against, like, I hated watching Nebraska try and often struggle to defend those Michigan State teams. Braden Smith has been an incredible college basketball player, right? Better score than you give him credit for. one of the best passers of all time, not just in the assist numbers, but in the touch on his passes, the way he's able to manipulate defenses. It's really hard to poke holes in Braden Smith's resume. But man, there's just something about Cassius Winston. And if you made me pick between the two of them, Smith might end up with a better number, certainly in assists. He's now 100 clear and counting at this point. But let's just not skip over how good Cassius Winston was in Michigan State. That dude was an absolute baller. All region team in 18-19, two-time consensus All-American, two-time All-Big Ten, 2018-19 player of the year, 2019 Big Ten Tournament MVP, 46-43-85 shooting splits for his career, averaged 14-3-6. Of course, he's a Detroit kid that ended up going to Michigan State. So don't let his lack of NBA career as a 6-foot-1 guard let you forget just how unfortunately mesmerizing and electric Cassius Winston was at Michigan State.
I have no problem with the Cassius Winston shout out because he was a lot of fun to watch. And I think you're right. Some of those names get lost. And that's why, you know, part of this is kind of fun just to go through the list and remember names that are more college basketball names, you know, don't get as much run in the NBA. But we're in that group. In the 800 club included is Ryan Nimhart from Gonzaga. Dwan Harris from a couple years ago from Kansas.
Whoa, okay.
Is up there with 865. Yeah, this would be some surprising names in here as well. Trying to go down the list.
Jalen Pickett?
Mr.
Booty Ball?
There you go. Chris Duhon. Duke guy. 819. Mateen Cleaves on there in the 800 club. Mo Watson from Creighton. Even in there. I think that's the highest Creighton rank. It would be 55th. All time.
Well, doesn't Ryan Nemhard count for Creighton?
Some of those assists happen there. So you can have your arguments there. By the way, for Nebraska, their all-time leader, 682 assists, which ranks 176th in NCAA history, would be Brian Carr. So he's down the list a little bit. Cookie Belcher.
How many people would have guessed Teron Lue? How many people forget about Brian Carr?
Yeah, they might have. Although Teron Lue, he left that year early. I always will wonder what could have happened if Teron Lue came back for his senior season.
Ooh, bigger what if. T. Lue senior season, Isaiah Roby senior season.
that's good. I would say Lue. Vincent Hamilton was like the player of the year the next year, and they weren't.
Yeah. It's got to be Lue, too, just because of how bad that first Fred team was.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
Like, is Roby tying that team together? I don't.
But if he does somewhat tie them together, at least the respectability, or more of them stick around, you get more of a better build at the beginning.
It's just a shame he just didn't realize how good he could be.
I know. He should have figured that out at some point. But yeah, I mean, I'll even go back to then was because in the time it was Teron Lue. I always kind of think of Teron Lue and Amon Green. If you keep one of those guys, would have been very interesting to see the trajectory of the programs from there. And of course, neither of them went exactly the way we wanted them to. So, but that happens. Guys have to make their best decision. Of course, Emmitt Johnson doing the same now and at the NFL Combine. So it'll be interesting to follow that. All right, let's go ahead and take a break. We do. I've been saying it all day, so we will get to. I'm trying to save college football. Coming up next year, 93.7 The Ticket.